Noah found grace. Thankful to be with you today. Thank the Lord for blessing us today so far. Ask the Lord to bless this message to us. Thank the Lord. You've been talking to me about Noah. And I know we're pretty familiar with it. I got some really good thoughts about it. I think the Lord inspired me with. But anyway, we want to turn to Genesis, the 6th chapter. And we may not read every bit of these chapters, but I'm going to highlight what I feel like God's been talking to me about. First of all, I wrote, Noah found grace. And I'm thinking this. Of course, we know we need to know what grace is, right? But 6 and 8, yes. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And I was just thinking about, what is grace? What did God see in Noah? And what does God want to see in us as righteous people? Grace can be defined different things, but this is where I wrote. Divine help, God's love and mercy, God's graciousness, all these things that God will give his righteous people. We may not be living in just this time, but we're living in a close time now, right? And there's many more righteous people than there was then. But yet we are facing some difficulties. But the Lord can help us as he looks upon us. What we need to do is get real close to God. Yes. And be real righteous, be real godly. And let God look upon us and find grace and give us that grace we need. Give us this grace to go through and encourage others to go through. Yeah. We can be faithful right now in this age of time that God has allowed us to live. We can be faithful saints. We can be what God wants us to be. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Even though God was looking back then at all the wickedness, all the evil. But we want to emphasize first about the positive, that God found grace. I mean, Noah found grace, that God gave him that grace, a special graciousness and love and mercy. He saw the holiness and the righteousness of him. That's what's holding the world together today, is the godly people, the righteousness, the holiness, the people that love him, the people that are praying, the people that are seeking him. Never mind so much, even though we're concerned we can't change certain things, but we can pray and we can be faithful and we can be godly and we can be righteous in this present generation that we're living in. God has allowed us to live in this time and we can be faithful. God, if Noah can be faithful when he only had his family, just think of it. Nobody else. Look, we have one another. We have saints. We have other Christians we can call for prayer. We have other people. Only Noah had was his family. But even then, he just built the ark. He was faithful to God. He did just what God. He didn't question God. He didn't say, well, you know, it's never rained before and you're telling me to build this big boat. He didn't do that. He didn't argue with God. He did exactly what he was told to do. He was very obedient. That's a sign of righteousness. That's a sign of godly people, that they're obedient. They're obedient to God. They don't question God. They don't ask, why me or why this or why this. They just believe that God is going to work it all out, that God is going to be with them. You know, I was thought about Proverbs 21 and 21. It says that the righteous are favored by God. I exactly read it like that, but 21 and 21 says, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. Do you know that if you follow after righteousness, that you will find life? That's what happened to Noah. Because he was righteous, because he was godly, he saved his life and his family. That's exactly what's going to happen to us when we have an ark that is not a big boat, but it's a spiritual ark. It's a spiritual ark, and don't ever get discouraged about it, because you keep being faithful, because God can help your whole household to be saved. They might not be saved now, but God can help them to be saved. And you know, God is working, and he can help keeping them saved, and he can help the saints to stay encouraged. And that's my burden, is to encourage the saints to be encouraged. And we hear enough of bad things all the time, but we want to encourage the saints to be faithful and be righteous, to be holy, be godly, be what God wants you to be, and then God will take care of the rest of it. And you will save your life by being that. That's what Noah saved his life, by being righteous. If he wasn't righteous, he wouldn't have been saved. But because he was righteous, it says, he that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. There's something about righteousness and holiness that brings honor, not in a proud way, but it lifts us up above the world, above the wickedness. There's another scripture that says, the way of life is above to the wise, to depart from hell beneath. You know, it's above the world. It's above. It's a spiritual above. It's not like we're in an ark floating, you know, miles and miles on this water above. Not that spiritual. But it's a spiritual ark. We are above the world. We're above because God is finding grace in our lives. He's finding that. He wants us to have honor in life. That's what he wants us to have. And praise God today that God can give us that. I was thinking about in Philippians 2 and 12. It says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. You know, that's the way we need to work out our salvation. Philippians 2, and it says 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, I believe that when Noah got the news that God was going to destroy everyone but him and his household, because he was righteous and told Noah what to do, he believed God. He believed him even though he hadn't seen rain. He had only been a dew up to that point on the ground. Even though he hadn't seen these things, he believed God. And you know, he worked out his salvation. You know, we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling, just like similar to what Noah was doing. Is Noah worked a long time on this ark. Now, I was studying about, if you read the fifth chapter in the 32nd verse, it says Noah was 500 years old, and it says that Noah begot his sons. It says their names. And then it says on, if you read over to 7 and 6, it says, Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. So there's 100 years. Now, I don't know the exact how much time, but we know it's somewhere in that 100 years where he built this ark. And I couldn't find the exact time. But if it was, whatever it was, if it was close to 100 years, that's a very long time. That's we kind of think of people as our lifespan. It's kind of like our lifespan. It could be shorter, it could be longer. But in nowadays, that's a very long time for him to be working on this ark. And then I think about us. It can be a very long time that we're saved, right? And a very long time that we're working on our salvation with fear and trembling, just like Noah did. I'm sure that he had some fear. I'm sure he had some trembling when he was working on this ark and thinking what was coming up. He didn't know exactly how it was going to be, but he just was obeying God. But he was thinking, you know, here I'm building this and God is going to destroy everybody around me. And only the animals that come in and my family. And no doubt, you know, people say different things. But, you know, I'm sure he talked to people. I'm sure they laughed at him. I'm sure that they thought he was foolish, but he kept working. They probably never seen nothing like that. They might never even seen a regular small boat because there was no need for it. But here he's building this great big ark. But he just kept doing it. You know, it's the same way in our life. We have people that wonder about us, wonder why we live this way, wonder why we're to them. It might be a little strict or whatever they're thinking. But yet we know in our soul that it pleases God, that we're righteous, we're holy, and we're godly, and what we're doing works. It works. You know, if it works and you get your prayers through and God is with you, then why change it? Why change it? Why be a little loose and do these things? We want to get closer to the Lord, right? So if it's working and God is working, He must be pleased with us, the direction we're going. So we just want to keep on obeying God. And God talks to His people. And He tells us what to do in these times that we're living in when fear is coming. I mentioned this morning something about fear. These fears that the enemy is trying to put on people. God helps us. In what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. And so we may, our human may have a tendency to be a little bit afraid, but then it all sweeps away. It just all sweeps away. Because, you know, you just trust in the Lord. I remember when I got sick, I won't mention all details, I'll be careful, but I got sick. And I was really sick, but you know, but yet there was some peace about it. You know, God was with me, and I wasn't really afraid. I just lay down and went to sleep. I trusted in the Lord. I trusted in the Lord that He would take care of me, and He brought me out. And that's what the people of the world don't have, because they don't have this salvation. But Noah had this salvation. He was righteous before God, and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the way we want to live, saints, is find grace in the eyes of the Lord. When He looks upon you, be careful about your life. Be careful what you do, what you see, what you look at, anything on your telephone, anywhere. If it comes up, click it off. Turn it off. Get away from it. Just do everything you can to please the Lord in little things in life like that that no one else knows about but you and God. But God knows. Just get away from it. Get away from as far as you can from evil and stay close to God, because you will save your life. You will save your life just like Noah did by doing that. Oh, thank God today. I just thank God for that. So we know it was a work of time. It was a great deal of care to build this ark. It took labor. It took expense. It took a vision. It was mentioned this morning. It took a vision of Noah. He had to have a vision that he believed God, even though it says the vision is yet for an appointed time, but it will come. That's just like us. There's sometimes God has given us a vision. He's given us a vision that we're going to go to heaven someday. And it hasn't come yet. It takes many years sometimes to get there. But yet we've got it in our heart. We know it's going to be true. And the vision is yet for a point in time. But though it tarry, it will come. And so this is same with Noah. Even though it took him a long time, his whole kind of equal to the span of our time, almost 100 years or sometime in there. So it says, we want to be faithful. Now, read 6 and 13, it says, I'm going to read 5 too. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. If you notice this thought, the imagination of his thoughts of his heart, you know, it wasn't just the outward thing that people were doing, but God was looking right down in the thoughts and the heart. Do you know God looks right down in your thoughts, your heart? He knows all about us. There's nothing we can hide from God. He looks right down in why you do a certain thing, why you're tempted with a certain thing, all about you, and He has mercy on us, but He still looks way down in the thoughts. And He was looking at people. No doubt he couldn't find any kind of thoughts that went toward God, or any kind of thoughts that, you know, I should be better, or, you know, things like that, how a Christian would think. But it was only evil continually. And he was done with it. If I say it that way, I don't mean to be too harsh or anything. But God was really done with it. He was done with it. He thought, you know, this is it. They're going to be, I'm going to just wipe them out. They're going to be gone forever. But he could not do that with Noah. He could not do it because he could have done other things with Noah. But he thought, no, I'm going to build. I'm going to let this ark be built. And, you know, I was like, what a great architect, you know, God is. Of course, we know God is smarter than anybody. We know that. But, I mean, he was a great architect. He was a great builder. He told him exactly how to build this ark, how to make it three stories, how to make special rooms for all the animals. And if you read on in there, and like I said, I would read every word, but you can read and you can study. But it's so wonderful. And how, when he did the male and female, how he brought those animals in. Noah did not have to do it. He opened the door at the side of the ark, but God made those animals come in two by two in groups of seven. I hadn't really caught that before, but the seven is such a special number. And groups of seven, you know, 7 days in a week. There's so many different things about seven. But he brought them in groups of seven. I kind of wondered about that, and then I thought, well, that just makes sense, because Noah had to put some animals in, you know, one little cage or what, another animal, to kind of separate them up. Took a little time. He didn't just rush them all in there at one time, you know. But groups of seven, when that got done, another group of seven came in, and he just caused the animals to obey God and go in there. It's just amazing. But, you know, isn't it wonderful? And 6 and 13 says here, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come upon me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." There is no impossible way that we can please God and be unrighteous, or like we heard this morning, pretty well laid out pretty clearly, that we do not sin, but we can't please God. It's all through the Bible. If you were unrighteous and you sinned, you couldn't please God. But you know, God said there, "I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without." And this is the fashion that goes on to talk about. And then the 17th verse says, "Everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark." I'm reading the 18th verse. "Thou, thy sons, thy wife, thy sons' wives with thee, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female." Then he talks about the fowls and the creeping things, and of every sort. "And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them." Noah, and thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You know, we can compare this so much with us, even though we'll never experience maybe something just like that. But yet we do experience the life of living for God, about working on our own salvation with fear and trembling, about building our life on the Lord Jesus Christ. We do similar. You know what I'm trying to say? Similar. And then God looks upon us and we find grace in the eyes of the Lord. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful that God is looking down and he blesses us. And that says, then it says in the fourth verse of seventh chapter, "For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. Every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth." And it goes on to tell about this. It's just so wonderful. And then it talks about when the waters started decreasing, and you know, and he was wondering if he should, you know, leave or open the door, but he waited on God. That was another thing I learned. He waited on God to tell him. Even though he sent the raven out the window, remember God told him to have a window at the top. He sent the raven out, and then he sent the dove out, and then the dove came back with a little twig or something from, or leaf, if I get the exact verse of that. And it says, okay, it is in the 11th verse of the 8th chapter. "And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. He stayed yet another 7 days. Then he waited this other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore." And so Noah was beginning to believe, it's time to go. It's time to get out. I mean, I imagine he was wanting to get out of there. Don't you think so? Don't you think that if you were, that you would kind of, even though we're trying to be patient now, We're trying to be patient. We're trying to obey God and all. But wouldn't you think that we'd want to get out? And all those animals and everything, and just get out into the world again. Get onto the earth again. I'm sure he was excited about it. And the 15th verse, it says, God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons and the sons' wives with thee. Bring forth thee with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh. How many of you went to the encounter? It's in Williamstown, Kentucky. How many of you been there to the ark? Quite a thing. If you haven't went there, try to get there sometime and look at that. It's supposed to be, I haven't measured it right, but it's supposed to be, I'm trying to say everything I know correctly, but they claim that it is exactly the same as the Bible. The dimensions, you know, it's really big. It really is big, and it's something, and you go in there, and it's just, I'm sure it can't be exactly everything inside, exactly, they didn't know, but it's very, very impressive. It's amazing. All right, it's amazing. And it's just to see how big the ark really is. And to see how God had the three stories and everything. It's just, they've spent a lot of money to build that. You know what I mean? The ark encounter. And a lot of people are traveling to see this. And it's amazing. And it's just the proof of the Bible, right? It's just the proof of the Bible. And this mountain that the ark landed on, you know, like was mentioned, we could preach a long time about this because there's so much in it. But I have a little book at home, and I wasn't able to find it again before this message, but I read it off and on. I read this book, and I'm just repeating what was in the book, okay? So that's all I know, because I've never been in that top of that mountain. I don't know, but this is what I heard. It's covered, it's with ice and snow, and so they can't hardly get to it. But then there's certain times that some of it's uncovered, and they say it's up there, and I believe it's up there. I believe it is. I believe it. And there's this man, and I don't know if I should call him this or not, but because that's what they call people that live on mountains, right? Hermits, right? I have never looked up the word hermit for sure. But the man lives there, and it said that he lives by the land and all. And so he has been able to get some of that wood when the ice melted away, get some of that wood. He made little crosses out of it. That's what I read. Okay, I'm just telling you what I read about Noah's ark. It's amazing. But I believe it. I believe that there was an ark. I believe God sent the water. And all this is true. It's not just a fairy tale or a story. It's a true story. It's a true story. And you know, and it's amazing what God did. And it says, and the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Am I saying that right? Ararat. On that mountain. And you know, it says, go on. And I think it was mentioned, you know, God, Noah. God remembered Noah. The eighth verse. The first verse of 8th chapter. God remembered Noah. Do you know? Praise God. I'm getting such a blessing from this thought. You know, God will remember us. God will remember us. We don't have to be totally, might be a little tempted to be a little afraid, but we really don't need to be totally, because God will remember us. He will help us. Yeah. He will take care of us. He promised He would. He loves us. The only thing that we got to be concerned, the main thing is find grace, like Noah did. Live a righteous life. Live a godly life. Keep your prayers up with God. Keep talking to God. Sometimes my husband will say, he'll hear me praying, and then I'm up and doing something else. And then he'll say, well, that was, you didn't pray too long that time. And then he'll catch me, I pray again. Now, sometimes I pray a long time, right? And then sometimes you pray a little while. I don't know how you do pray. How do you pray? But you know, it's okay, right? We just keep talking to God. Just keep talking to God. That's wonderful. And keep close to God. And then sometimes we have a burden. We cry and pray for a long time, you know. But you know, God doesn't have a limit on it, but He wants to talk to you, and He wants us to talk to Him. You know, David, he prayed three times, morning, noon, and night. Daniel. And that's what he got trouble for, because he opened the windows and he kept praying, and he wasn't supposed to do that. They made a law. He was not supposed to do that no more, but he didn't listen to their law. He kept praying to God. Oh, thank God. This is what we got to do. Keep close to the Lord. Oh, I just love the Lord so much. It's wonderful. You know, there he came out. And you know, it says here, God remembered Noah, and then God told him to come out. He came out. And you know what he did? He made an altar. In the 20th verse of the 8th chapter, Noah built an altar unto the Lord. I love Noah. You know, it's okay. I love Noah. Right? We love Noah. He was a wonderful man. He loved God. He loved him. I love Noah because he loved God. And the first thing he thought about, he was in a hurry now. I think he was a little bit. Or maybe I should say excited. Would you not be excited if you got out of that ark? Is that okay? Is that okay? I mean, the human part of us, would you be excited to get those animals out and let's get going on this? Let's get going on living again, right? You know how we feel when we get tied up and how I'm too much? You want to get out. You want to go on with your life. Well, that's what. But he did not forget about God. I don't care how excited I am. This ain't going to go good for me if I don't pray to God, right? That's the same with us. We can be excited about doing things, but if we don't take time to pray, it won't be good for us. We got to take time. So what did Noah do? He built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast, of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, this is what I'm wondering. Did he not put some of those animals in that Noah put in there ahead of time? I'm just thinking this out. To offer the altar when he got there. Does it kind of make sense, right? That he must have. It says here, he took a very clean beast, a very clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, oh, see, that's what God. We're not burning animals. We're not doing things like that. But you know what we are doing? We're praying to God. We're loving God. And it sends a sweet smelling savour to him when we do this. You know, when we do this and we do it from our heart, oh, it just makes you want to get closer to the Lord. And Noah built an altar and he did that. And the Lord smelled a sweet savour. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. You know why he said that? Because he thought, oh, I just love this. I love righteousness. I love when a person is righteous. That's why he created people. He wanted to love people. He wanted us to love him. That's what his plan was. It wasn't none of this evil stuff. He wanted to create us to enjoy life, to eat of the fruit of the ground, to eat the meat of the animals, to enjoy our life. That gave us a husband and a wife, gave us children, grandchildren, whatever he gave us. He gave it to us to enjoy. He wants you to enjoy your life. He just doesn't want no sin in it. He wants righteousness and holiness. And he smelled a sweet savour and he said, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite anymore every living thing as I have done. That's a carnal heart. That's a carnal heart that we're born with. It's evil. It's not good. But God saves us and he sanctifies us. And he cleanses that heart and he puts his Holy Spirit in there and we're no more evil. It's all cleaned up. It's all pure. It's all righteous. That's wonderful. We couldn't do that on our own, but Jesus does that. Praise God. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So what is it, dear saints? Don't you like to get up in the morning? You know, as I get older, me and my husband, but I like to get up in the morning. They say that about people that, I don't know. Young people could want to get up in the morning early too. But the sun comes up. You open the windows. You have a curtain shut. You open the blinds. You let the sun come in. And we just expect it every day, don't we? We expect the sun to come up. But you know, that's God's mercy. That it will continue until the very end. It's going to continue. We don't even have to be concerned. It's going to continue till the very end and it's over forever. Then it will be. Oh, God promised it and he said, I promised. Now, I could tell, see what I want to tell this part. Oh, yes. Praise God. You know, You know about the rainbow. I haven't get there yet. But anyway, I want to tell this one. Oh, in the 16th verse. I'm going to skip a little bit ahead and I'm going to go back. But in the 15th verse of the 9th chapter, he says, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Praise God. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant, which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Do you know God made us a promise when we see that rainbow that this is not going to happen? It can rain and rain and rain, but it's not going to happen again like that. He promised us so we can look at that rainbow, and that's a promise from God. Oh, thank the Lord. Now, something special that the Lord seemed like got out of this. You know, when you start studying things, you get different thoughts. This is amazing to me, and I kind of knew it, but I guess didn't really get a hold of it. But in the 9th chapter, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, this was after they came out of the ark, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Now this is one reason they lived a very long time, because it took time for this. And Noah lived 350 years after that. He was 600, he lived till 950 years, and then he died. But during this time, this is what God wanted, and this is what's happening. Now he says about the animals. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. Did you know that bears and mountain lions that we normally would be a little afraid of, right? They're afraid of us. Now, do you believe that? God put it in them to have a dread and a fear of us. I mean, I read that over and I read that over, because naturally speaking, there's bears, like all the bears down there where my mother lives in Virginia, West Virginia. They come out of the mountains. They come to get the trash sometimes. And, you know, I mean, it's like, normally we'd be afraid of a bear, right? But God said, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. But this, I looked this up, and I want to tell you a couple of stories. In Sweden, there was a man, he was out, and he was training a dog out in the woods. And this dog was barking. And all of a sudden, the dog's bark became a little different. So he took note of that. And why it did, because a bear was charging at him. I kind of wonder if the bear was charging at this, heard this dog barking, was really charging at the dog. But anyway, it was coming towards him. He was charging at them. And he says his first instinct was to get as big as he could, you know, just as big as he could, and scream as loud as he could. His wife got it on video, but I couldn't find that. But his wife got it on video of this, the whole thing. The bear got scared when he screamed and went back in the woods. He went back in the woods. I'm telling you, it's because God put this fear in them of man. That's amazing, isn't it? Then they said the mountain lion, they said they did a test. And the mountain lions, when they were out feeding on their kill, they put recordings of men's voices in that area and turned them on to do a test and see if those animals were really afraid of humans. Those animals would look up with fear and run back into the woods for a while. Yes, just because of the voices of humans. It said it was definitely, definitely true that they are afraid of humans. And I mean, that's what I got out of this. I'm sure I read it before, but just didn't get it, you know, what I'm trying to say. But God put it in those animals to be afraid of us. Isn't that something? And it makes sense he would do that, right? Because they could really hurt us if... they could really hurt us if they didn't have that in them. And I just thank God that he's such a wonderful God, that he made them for us to be a service to us. Praise God. And I'm almost done, Lord willing. I just got a little bit more, but there's so much in this. But Matthew 24 and 37, it says here, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now we know it's not quite as bad as that because we got righteous people. But that's what's holding the world together right now. I will believe it. The righteous people. Luke 17 and 26. 17 and 26 says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives." And you know, and this eating and drinking, you know, we all eat and drink. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. But it was it in, what the word I want, excess of it, spirit of it, of restaurants on every corner, and there's nothing wrong with going. But we have to continually be careful that we don't overindulge, or we don't go too far with it, or get a spirit of it. But this eating and drinking, you know, years ago, if you study the Romans, they would, regurgitate? They would eat and eat and eat, and then regurgitate and start all over again. It was gross. It was just something of a spirit of the flesh. There's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. We love good food and love, but it's the spirit of the age. You know what I'm trying to say? It's a spirit that can get a hold of people that they're eating when they're not even hungry. They're just going too far with it. And drinking, and of course, and the alcohol and the liquor and all this stuff, the saints don't even have temptation with that at all. But I mean, in the world, just going in excess of all this stuff. And marrying and giving in marriage and all the wickedness. But it says, but the same day, it says, and they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. And Lord, well, my last verse here is Hebrews 11 and 7. Remember the sixth verse too. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Be like Noah. Have faith in God. I mean, this man had faith. He had faith to work on that building and that ark for those many years. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." I'm telling you what. He's a wonderful man, but it was only because he followed after God. He followed after righteousness. I want to be following after the Lord. I want to be find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Pray for me.